At this time, clouds are obstructing the view of our own North Star. But tonight, there will be dancing in the streets of heaven as a much-loved traveller returns to the land from whence he came. This eulogy begins in a little settlement outside of Tuatapere on Southland's southern coast. The time is late July 1967, when four newly ordained priests prepared to say Mass. The little church is full. No homily or sermon is planned or prepared for. Each of us will present just a few introductory remarks. But then, as we are about to begin, one of us discovers that we have no altar breads. A minor panic takes hold, for it is already past the scheduled past start time. One of the locals hurries off to Tuatapere to collect the said breads, and we decide to begin the Mass. Now, there will need to be a homily, for if no other reason than to fill in the time before the breads arrive. Anton volunteers. The rest of us certainly do not protest. That day, Anton spoke for 40 minutes. He did not repeat himself once. This callow youth that he was spoke of Jesus and he spoke of love. These two subjects, Jesus and love, were to be the touchstones of this remarkable man's life. In 1967, I had been Anton's friend for 7 years. I now have been his friend for 62 years. I know him to be the holiest man I have ever met. And I believe for as long as I shall live, that will never change. Today, I am reminded of when the writer of John's Gospel had Jesus say of Nathanael, "Today, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." Jesus could well have been speaking of Father Anton McLean. Anton was goodness personified. When pressed for help or assistance in any way, the word no was not in his vocabulary. Anton was the people's priest, and so much will we miss him. He had absolutely no ambition to rise in rank or prestige. He was interested only in a life of service. To those of us who knew him, he was truly a prophet in our midst. Deeply compassionate, extraordinarily kind, never judgmental, deeply spiritual. He was indeed a true disciple of Jesus, whom he called his friend and his God. I remember well one day, a long time ago, when he asked me, "John, how do you pray?" I answered him and then asked him how he prayed. He answered in this manner, "I think I don't pray in a conventional way. I talk to Jesus, but I don't think I use words. I sense his presence around me and through me all my waking hours. This presence is sometimes quite intense, sometimes less intense, but it is always there like a shadow. I relate with Jesus as my friend. I am never alone. Now, I had never heard anyone talk this way before. It was then that I realized that I was in the presence of greatness, spiritual greatness. This realization was strengthened in me just some 5 days before he left us when he said to me, John, the end is now very near. I sense Jesus is closer than ever before. His presence is overwhelming. I suppose some would say that I should say some prayers, but I see no need for that. That is not what it's about. I will just continue to live and love the life that he has given me until it is finished. I have never been afraid of God. He is my friend. I look forward with anticipation to what is to come. My sense is that it will be truly astonishing. Isn't that extraordinary? Isn't that just extraordinary? That is a uniquely moving and deeply personal insight into the man we farewell today. But then, will he ever be completely gone from us? Because I find it difficult to speak of Anton in the past tense. Such is the effect he has on me. I think his very immersion into the divine infected all he knew him. I think his humility and his lived experience of the human condition made him so loved by so many. His legacy will live on long after this day is done. Indeed, I even find myself wondering whether he is not present amongst us now, within a realm that we do not yet understand. Perhaps he is, perhaps he is not. Nobody really knows, but many believe. Let me tell you a story. A story at once true, but not true. Real, but not real. So come with me. Come with me now to the water's edge and watch a small craft leave harbour for what will be the last time. There is but one sailor on board, Father Anton McLean. Watch as the wind takes the sail, the silver sail, and see the little craft gather speed. See it as it dances in the sunlight. See it as it distances itself from us. Watch as it nears the horizon. Watch, watch, and then it is gone. It is now off the radar of our senses. But at that very moment, a huge throng is gathered on another shore, and on a different horizon, the very tip of a sail appears, a silver sail. And a cry goes up, he is coming, he is coming. Cheering erupts from all that is, except for two people who have waded knee-deep in water. Tears of joy run down their cheeks, Rex and Claire, Anton's parents. Together, they built the bow of love, which sent into the world the arrow, which was their beloved son, Anton. And in so doing, they released a mountain of inspiration, guidance, and hope onto so, so many. The three embrace with a depth and an affection which words cannot capture. A hush descends upon the crowd. An imposing figure with an engaging charisma walks towards the little family with his arms wide open. Anton looks up and immediately cries, "Jesus!" And Jesus laughs and says, "Welcome, my dear, dear friend. Long have I waited for this moment. Welcome to the land which has been prepared for you and for all creation from before the spring of time." And Anton is home. His journey is complete. He is within his father's house. And that is the end of the story. Or in fact, is it just the beginning? The beginning of a story which has no ending. There remains for us now to say not goodbye, but simply au revoir. Au revoir until we meet again. Go well, my friend. I will miss you. We all will surely miss you.